evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheesehead Nation's edition of Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky. And of course, Cheesehead Nation would not exist without Brian Caravu working behind the scenes, on the blog, etc. So big thanks to Brian. Why don't you tell the people what's on tap tonight, Corey?
Tonight, we'll be speaking live with Michael Lombardi of the National Football Post, as well as a frequent contributor to the NFL Network and Inside the NFL on Showtime. And later in the evening, we'll be speaking with Packers rookie linebacker Brad Jones. And on the live blog, we have Howie Magner, the associate editor and sports columnist for Milwaukee Magazine. Big thanks to Howie for joining us. But right now, we're speaking with Mr. Michael Lombardi. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks a lot for coming on, Mike. You know, obviously this is a Packer-centric show, but we'll cover a lot of NFL stuff as well. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about you. And you know, a lot of people read your stuff on National Football Post, they see you on TV, but how did you get started, I guess, in football in general and in personnel? Specifically,
well, you know, Aaron, it was funny. I was inspired by the great Packer coach Vince Lombardi, who's no relation. But you know, I grew up in a little small town in New Jersey, and I would watch Packer games and was a Packer fan because he obviously had the same last name that I had, and certainly, or I had the same last name as him. And you know, I decided that you know, he looked like everybody that belonged at all my my family reunions, and you know, we had to be related somehow. So. Needless to say, we're not related, and you know, I just wanted to be in football. So at an early age, I decided that's what I wanted to do. And when he left the Packers in 69 to go to the Redskins, and I became a Redskin fan, and all through my childhood until I became employed by the 49ers in 84, I was a Redskin fan. So, you know, I just was always determined to get in the NFL. Personnel became more of a something I wanted to get into once I was involved with football. I wanted to be involved in all aspects of the game, so it just kind of migrated itself into the personnel department.
And you know, if anyone listening or watching tonight doesn't know, I mean, Michael's Sunday morning columns alone are a must read. But everything you do on National Football Post is just a required reading for any football fan. And how did that come about? I mean, I know we've spoken with both Andrew Brandt and Matt Bowen, but how did you get involved with the National Football Post?
Well, it was an interesting, you know, collaboration between a lot of different people. When I left Denver, I went to Denver with the thought that I was going to stay there for a while and spend some time there, and they were going through some budget cuts, which I didn't anticipate, and so it kind of left me in a lurch in March of 2007, and between Andrew Brandt, Matt Bowen, Jack Bechter, we came up with an idea that, you know, to be an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have a new idea. It means you take an existing idea and make it better. And we just thought there was a niche in the Internet, and certainly it's still to be seen whether we can do it, is where we can provide different kind of content, where we will give our opinion and not worry about, you know, the reaction or sugarcoat it or protect the source or do that. We just felt like the best way was to wake up and start saying what we thought and seeing if we write. And I've always loved to write. I always would write. I mean, I wrote reports my whole life in pro football, and you write a lot. So it just became just a natural progression. And hopefully we're 1 year into the Post, and we're trying to keep growing.
Well, like I say, it's required reading for any football fan. It's a daily stop, definitely. Getting into the Packers, because obviously you're playing to a diehard Packer fan audience here.
which is awesome.
do you think, looking at Ted Thompson, do you think he was a bit stubborn this past offseason, coming off a 6-10 year? I mean, he really, you know, basically held his ground, stuck with the hand that he had, and didn't make any major moves or major changes. Was that surprising to you, or do you think that's just in Ted's nature and that's what you expected?
Aaron, I think that's kind of who Ted is. I think Ted's very comfortable. I think his power surge and his place where he feels most comfortable is in the college draft room. And I think he does, that's what he plays to his strength. And he wants to find those players that can really help the team. And, you know, they have the youngest team in the NFL, or one of the youngest teams in the NFL, and they have a very talented roster. You know, and there's some things that you could tweak and tinker with. But I think for the most part, he definitely likes to just spend most of his time in his college draft. And I think the pro department there Elliot Wolf and Reggie McKenzie and right. certainly John Snyder. Those guys do a great job in terms of finding some guys along the way to help their practice squad, but they're never going to be proactive in free agency because I just don't think Ted's comfortable there.
If you were the GM of the Packers, after this 1-1 start and after coming off the
Which has always been the ultimate dream of my life.
How could it not be, right? How could it not? So your dream has come true. Ted resigns. Mark Murphy calls you up and says, you got to take over, Mike. what do you do about the offensive line, the struggles they've had? You know, they have Clifton out. They've had Jermon Meredith signed away by the Bills. What do you do there? Do you just kind of have to let it ride, or you try and make some moves, try and shake it up a little bit?
Well, I think this is offensive line is almost like it has to be 2 years in the planning. You just can't rebuild your line in a week. It just doesn't happen. And I learned this when I was in Cleveland. We were always trying to replace Paul Farron, the left tackle, but we were always trying to do it in September, the year we wanted to replace him. And it requires at least 12 months advanced planning. And I think ultimately that's what you have to do. You know, to me right now, if I was working at the Packers, the number one thing I would be looking at would be who's going to be my backup offensive line next summer in training camp. I'd start at that point. I want five really good players. I don't want five college free agents. I don't want five rookies. I want five guys who have been in an NFL camp, who understand, have a chance to play football, that are smart, meet the qualifications, meet the characteristics that I'm looking for in offensive linemen, and certainly start to have that. You know, obviously they let Meredith go. I think they could have saved him if they wanted. They chose to probably let him go, or else he didn't feel comfortable he was going to get an opportunity, whether it was a mental thing, whether it was a discomfort with the offense, I don't know. But I think when you lose a player off your practice squad and you have a need at that position, you must have let him go.
Right.
So I think that's ultimately what you have to do. You have to have year-long planning. And the draft, what people don't understand about the draft is always going to affect your next year's team. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders, they will not affect your team unless you know, something unique happens. But ultimately, they affect your next year's team, and that's why it's so important to have a very productive practice squad. That's why it's so important to have good players on your practice squad, because ultimately, that's next year's team you're working with.
Absolutely. Well, that's a very good point, and I guess a lot of fans probably, you know, they see a horrible performance like they saw on Sunday, and then not such a great performance from the offensive line the previous week, and I guess, you know, panic sets in fandom, but the broad view is obviously what Ted Thompson gets paid to have. Obviously you talk to people all around the league, both in and out of the league. But what is the national perception of the Packers, both in the media and in the personnel ranks? I mean, do people think Ted's crazy, or do they regret voting him exec of the year 2 years ago? You know, because ever since then it's been dicey.
Well, I think Ted has a style, and I think, you know, ultimately he plays to a style, and he loves the college draft, and that's his strength. That's what he's comfortable with. I think he likes to be on the road. I think he's very comfortable being out there looking at college players during the week of a game and come back in, and, you know, and I think that's just a perspective that he's very comfortable in, and you know, he's had success doing it. You know, there's a thousand different ways you do it. Me, personally, I've always thought it was best to be around the team. I thought I could do more good for the team in the office on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday than I could be at a Texas A&M when I can get that tape and watch that in the draft's not coming up until later in that April. So I thought that, you know, to find a guy or do that. But, you know, everybody's each his own, and I think Ted has success doing it his way. I was more involved in pro personnel. I was more about pro personnel. Right. Certainly like the draft, but I thought that I could really find a diamond in the rough, whether it's take Terdell Sands off of the Packer practice squad or try to find a player like that somewhere along the line.
And what do you think as far as, a lot of people talk about if the Packers falter again this year that, McCarthy and possibly Thompson could be on the hot seat. Do you think that's a reality, or do you think they're pretty much set? They have 4-year, extensions on their contract. They're going to be around for a while no matter what.
I think Green Bay's a unique town. I think it's been unique since the before Lombardi got there, and I think it's patient. I think it understands that there's going to be ups and downs in the league, and I think that if they see progress and they see hope, I think the board of directors who ultimately make the decisions are going to make sure that they keep continuity. I think they realize continuity is the most important thing. Obviously, when they see 2-14, they know they have to make a change. But I think, you know, that team certainly doesn't have 2-14 talent. That team's got enough talent, and they've got some problems like every team's going to have at some point during the season. They just got to find a way to fix them.
And what do you think the Packers need to do this weekend to get back on track against the Rams?
Well, you know, obviously the Packers have to protect, and they have to make obviously do a much better job at their offensive line, and certainly the Rams are not of the caliber of the Packers in terms of their talent level, but no NFL team can be taken lightly. So you've got to prepare, and you've got to find a way to get back to the things you do really well. And every game is a part of where you can get better. You have to work on your fundamentals, your techniques, your basics, and that ultimately gets you better. And this is the first step for the Packers. It's not going to be an easy game. And I think oftentimes when you play a team of the Rams' ilk, you think the game's over in the first quarter. And I think you have to prepare your team that, look, this is a four-quarter fight. We're a great team. We're going to win it in the third and fourth quarters, you know, and wear them down. And ultimately it's the survival test. Whoever's the fittest wins, and that's what will happen on Sunday.
And, you know, you're an absolute legend for joining us tonight, Mike. But before you go, I got to ask you, just because I got you on the phone, what is the craziest thing that ever happened to you when you were working with Al Davis?
Well, you know, we don't have all night. I mean, we could stay here all day. You know, I think, when you work there, and I call it the hotel on the site, because when I worked there, you know, we all called it the hotel, because we would work out in the weight room and Hotel California would play, and I would tell everybody, you know, this is the life we're living here. And, you know, it's just unique. And there was a time there from 1999 to 2004 that it was at least, you know, it was different, but it was a kind of unique different, and you enjoyed it. Once 05 came around and then the changes, it just became very difficult, because he is an owner who controls the team, and he wants to make every decision, whether it's what kind of lunch we're going to have to ultimately what kind of pens are going to be in the office. I mean, every decision has to go by him. Every expense report is still signed by him. So,
are you serious?
You know, wow.
No, I'm dead serious. So, you know, I mean, that's how much control he has on the organization. So, you know, as far as strange, you know, the draft was always a strange environment for me. When I got there in 1999, we didn't even have there's no draft board or cards for players, and there was no communication in the draft room. We relied on the telephone like it was 1960. So I would always think that, you know, this is really like the way Lombardi did it back in the days when they had the draft during November, during the middle of the season, and they would basically everybody
like a hotel in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, draft out of Sporting News, and you know, find players and write guys' names down. I'm thinking Pat Pepler was going to walk in at any time, and you know, and Jack Vanisi was going to show up. I thought it was just going to be one of those days, but you know, it's different. It's a great learning experience. If you like football, it's a good situation, because you get to spend a lot of time on football, because ultimately you really only work for one person. You work for him, and if he calls you that day, you're at work. If he doesn't call you, you're pretty much free to do whatever you want to do, and if you like football, you work on football.
Well, that's fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Like I say, National Football Post, it's required reading for any football fan. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. Anytime. I've always will be a Packer fan, and I got to say, I think when he went to the Redskins and he changed the uniform to the R on the helmet, that still is my favorite Redskin uniform.
Absolutely, old school. Definitely, definitely. Couldn't agree more.
So good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Michael.
It.
Have a great night.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Lombardi, personnel guru, National Football Post. How are you tonight, Corey?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
That was good. I for once am being able to watch the live blog, which is very exciting.
We've got computers everywhere.
Howie is kicking butt and taking names.
Is he? Very good. I haven't had a chance to look.
And Tony of Mike McCarthy's Feedback, back for another round.
Tony, we didn't scare him off the first time, apparently.
He's like, those guys are right. I am wearing an Amon Green jersey.
Because it was so nice when we had a running back and a running game.
Everybody I have who's playing, I didn't really want to wear their jersey. And somebody said, hey, Corey, you need to suit up because you have your suit and tie on.
You know, well, it's just I come from work, you know.
So I'm suiting up. And you know what? You know what we like to do here at Cheesehead Nation, Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants Live? We like to do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We do.
We got the good. We got Charles Woodson.
The only bit of good in the entire game.
We got the bad. We got Greg Jennings.
I hope he's never in this category again. I am shocked that he's in this category, and zero catches for $27 million is unacceptable.
Jarrett Bush. Duh.
This is where he lives, if he's not in the ugly.
Ryan Grant.
Ryan, buddy, hit a hole. Hit any hole. Hold on to the ball.
And we got the ugly. We got the offensive line.
Is there any doubt? I mean, if there was going to be an ugly this week, I thought about, like, maybe it was college, maybe, you know, but no. It was the whole freaking line. And actually, you could extend that into, like, the entire protection unit. Like, fullback, halfback, tight ends, everybody.
I think my favorite thing that happened, and you know what? You can go on demand with Packer Transplants Live.
On demand. Okay?
Not only did Dane Randolph make it to the practice squad. Cheesehead Nation bump. It just took a little while. Got the Cheesehead Nation bump.
But Jamon Meredith, gone.
That makes me want to cry. But before I...
sorry. You were making a point before I made you cry.
I was, I just think it's interesting, because if you go on demand,
right,
you'll see me in the OTAs, and everybody's like, Corey, why you got to hate on the offensive line? And you know what?
Ouch.
That was the preseason. You're looking at the guy. Oh, look, you can see. That's nice. I realized there was data on my camera, and it wasn't very nice.
Of course, there's data.
You're looking at the.
You're a data freak.
You're looking at the guy who, you know, some people have called a Darren College hater.
Yeah, some people have. Yeah, they have.
And you know what? I like Darren College. It's too bad he wasn't coached up on the left tackle during the offseason, during OTAs, during training camp.
You got to think that the decision, now I understand, I want to keep all five guys in one spot, blah, 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 blah. And Packer Nation has been clamoring for that. So it's not like you can say that McCarthy did wrong there. However, you got to think that if you're not going to carry a dedicated backup left tackle, that you've at least got to give Darren College a few reps at left tackle at least a couple times during training camp, if not during the season.
Well, here's the thing, okay? And you know what? I'm not a big fan, as you know, of questioning coaches' play calling.
Right.
Okay?
Nope,
during
a
game.
I
just think there's no place
for
it.
You brought me around on that.
I don't think there's a place for it in society.
Okay? Well, that's a bold statement.
Well, whatever.
I hear you.
But, you know, how do you keep three fullbacks on the roster and let your draft pick go?
Your left tackle draft pick, who you supposedly were grooming to be the left tackle of the future.
Wow.
And you really need a tackle at this point. But they must, like Mike Lombardi said, they must have really not thought he was going to do it or could play at all.
I guess.
But then why keep him over Dane Randolph in the first place on the practice squad? I don't know. But hey, congratulations to Dane.
You know what's funny? And it's not the loss, whatever.
We'll
okay, everybody needs to calm the F down, okay?
Whoa.
The Packers are 1-1. Okay? The last time I checked, that's zero.
That's
okay?
Even.
Whatever.
Zero.
Whatever. But it's just annoying. And you know what? Our blog has never been a party to that. People knock on you for calling us a finesse team, which you've done, whatever. But you don't just, all of a sudden we don't lose, and it's negative Nelly. Okay?
Right. No, I was negative before we lost, so it's all right.
And I'm the guy who says the preseason means nothing. But
right. Well, it doesn't. And I think that's bearing out right now how little the preseason means. I mean, it's one thing to go up and down the field in preseason. It's quite another when teams start actually like throwing things at you and making you adjust. And when you can't adjust, you get whipped.
And when you're in the fourth quarter and your defensive line just got really tired.
It's really tired. I mean, you got to think B.J. Rogers is going to make a difference there. I mean, they just got whipped again and again physically in the run game. First of all, they came out with an unbalanced line, and I didn't see the Packers ever make an adjustment to that. They kept adding an extra tackle to the line, and guys just kept getting blown off the ball. And, you know, you got to think Raji's going to make a bit of a difference, because Johnny Jolly, as good as he was in the first game, was as bad as he was.
That interception was ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, it was a great
athletic
play.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing why Packer fans need to calm down.
All right.
Okay?
All right. I'm listening.
I can't talk right now. Here's the thing.
Right,
look,
right.
You got to put it in perspective, okay?
I hear you.
Every year this happens. This is our third year doing the podcast.
Yes, it is.
First year doing it live on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
First year having guests that are, like, amazing. Thank you, Michael Lombardi.
Amen.
And, you know, hopefully we get Brad Jones on the phone. He doesn't Wayne Larrabee us. But, you know, you got to put it in perspective. The parity in the NFL is ridiculous.
That's true.
Okay? So this year, the Bengals might go to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen.
But
you know
could.
What?
It could.
Carson Palmer, Ocho Cinco.
Benson is no joke. He's got talent. The guy can run. And they upgraded their defense. I said all week last week, and oh, I forgot to mention to Michael Lombardi that Ray over there at National Football Post gave Cheesehead TV a shout out, because I said all week how the Bengals defensive front was no joke. So you see that. Yeah, it's disconcerting. But like you say, 1-1. Pack is 1-1. And you're looking up at the Vikings, and that's, you know, you hate that. But they haven't played anybody.
Speaking of, next week, Packer fans.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We have a special announcement. We are going to be at the premier destination in New York City for Packer fans.
Absolutely. Okay,
we are going to be in the Village at Kettle of Fish on Christopher Street. It's actually right next to 55 Bar, which is classic, traditional. Like, when you think of jazz, where jazz, like, came from, that's one of the bars that freaking jazz came from. I mean, I know people say New Orleans, Chicago, whatever.
Right.
In New York,
it was the hotspot.
That's the hotspot. And it's still there. It still plays music. It's amazing.
It's a fantastic.
Right next door, Kettle of Fish. We are going to be there.
We are going to be there. And
we're going to be trying to be quiet, though.
Yep. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But we will be with special guest Phil Hannerin, I think his name is. I don't know quite how to pronounce his last name. But a gentleman has written a book called Life After Favre. And we'll be joining him at Kettle of Fish. We'll be
interviewing
him.
In that book.
And we are mentioned in this. Cheesehead TV gets a shout out in this book. It's crazy. The guy is insane. But so we will be at Kettle of Fish. We'll be talking to a bunch of people. I think we'll also be on the phone with Kevin Seifert, whatever his name is, from ESPN. It's going to be a crazy week next week. Let me tell
you. It is. And, you know, hopefully, I've been waiting for this for a while, but hopefully we can get our hated Minnesota Vikings fan friend. He is a true Minnesota Vikings fan. And he has a great voice, and he's an actor.
Liam Garrity.
Liam. So
he'll be in the house, hopefully.
Hopefully he'll be in the house so that people can throw stuff at him.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, it'll be great. It'll be fantastic. You know what the thing is about what you were just saying about 1-1 and blah 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 blah, and the parody in the NFL, and that's the thing. You look at the game, as badly and as horribly as the Packers played, they still had a chance at the end of the game to win it.
Yep.
There's talent.
Oh man,
there.
That was amazing too. Okay, as much as seriously. Okay?
No, it was. I agree.
As much as like that was depressing. Okay, it's just typical Packers. Okay?
Right.
Like, how do you get a field goal and then get the ball back?
Yeah.
And then
get down to the 4-yard line and not score. That's rough. And I got to say, wait. Donald's doesn't need a driver. Wait, today.
Yeah.
Today, Donald's, or maybe last night. Donald's doesn't need a driver wrote about how he thought McCarthy should not have kicked the field goal and should have kept going for the touchdown.
Whatever. See, again, here's why you don't question play calling, okay?
Oh, gosh.
You don't do it because you're not paid millions of dollars to question play calling in the middle of a game. That was a brilliant call, okay? That was a brilliant call. Had we managed the game better? No,
yes.
It was.
No, I agree.
It was.
Considering, I was about to make that point.
Considering where we went, that was a brilliant call.
I agree.
Okay? And for the most part, he doesn't have that many brilliant calls. That was a nice segue.
That's
you
a
like
breakdown.
That, right?
That's a breakdown right there. No, I have to respectfully disagree with Donald's designated driver about the about the idea of not kicking the field goal there.
You're so respectful.
Just because of the time on the clock, you're still 40 yards out, and you know, you haven't moved the ball all day. All right, they're protecting the sidelines. They're protecting the end zone. They're letting everything happen in front of them. You get those points on the board when you can, with the idea of no matter if you score a touchdown, you're still going to need to recover an onside kick and then go the 50-plus yards to get the touchdown.
Yeah, that's why you got to manage. You're managing the clock. That's why it's brilliant.
You've got to kick that field goal,
you gotta
get the points on the board, and then pray to God you get that onside kick, which they did.
Beer kids, like, they could have had one more play before they kicked the field goal. But again, if you're managing the clock you're trying to keep the clock in your favor, and you know what?
But in response to that, beer kid, yes, they could have had one more play, but then those seconds that they used doing that play would have negated the final play to driver that got him down to the 4-yard line. They need at least, and McCarthy said they practiced. You know, 16 seconds is the final no limit. You cannot go below that point to get down there in that drill, according to the way they've practiced. So had they run one more play, they would have taken time off the clock and would have had that extra time to get down there on the play to driver. Now, yeah, a million different things could have happened, could have broken a million different ways. I think the kick of the field goal at that point was a great call. And
it's
disagree
true.
With Donald.
It's true. Beer kid said 7 seconds.
7 seconds what?
I don't know.
That's That's interaction at its best right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Howie's giving it up for the Life After Favre book. See, this is the problem. When Corey's in front of the live blog, and now I'm speaking about myself in the third person
right here.
When I'm in front of the live blog, I just want to look at it. So maybe I shouldn't look at it.
Because, just look at
no,
it.
No, you know
it's
what?
Fine.
No. You know what? People have got to calm down.
See, you keep saying that, but you get really excited when you say
it. Because they don't calm down. Okay? People need to calm down. That's what Cheesehead TV is for, okay? Railbird Central, obviously, is off the rails. I don't even want to talk about that. But it's like everybody is going crazy. You lose one game, and people are going crazy.
That's Packer fans, though. That's what they do.
Yeah, but
Wait. Brian's got a great poll up. If you could trade Clay Matthews for any of the top five offensive linemen taken in this year's draft, would you? My answer is yes.
No.
My answer is yes.
No, I voted no.
I'm voting yes right now.
I voted
now.
No. Oh, what, and on the CM3? You mean the CM3?
Yeah. And I've said this all along. Michael Orr was taken one spot in front of where the Packers traded up to get CM3. I to this day, I wish they had traded up to get Michael Orr instead of CM3.
Listen.
I tell you what.
I'm calling it right now.
Call it, dog.
CM3 is going to be the linebacker AJ Hawk never was.
Well, I tell you what. He already kind of is.
If he is, he can't play the run yet.
He can't play the run yet. But he is a monster speed demon on the
beast.
Rush. He had a decent game. He was very poor in the run, against the run.
Whatever, he's a rookie. I'm saying eventually.
I hear, but they're playing him, so he's got to play.
He's a pass rusher though.
All they really need to play him is as a pass rusher. I hear you. All right.
They don't even know who the linebackers are. We have so many linebackers. They don't even know who the starters are.
Yeah, but here's the problem. We have all these linebackers, and none of them played well on Sunday. None of them. CM3 played the best out of all of them.
Well, wait.
And even he had just kind of a decent game.
Wait, is this the time to talk about a certain linebacker?
You mean the one who hasn't made a play all year?
No. I was actually talking about a linebacker who said he was never going to Twitter again.
We'll talk about him on the flip. We got to take a break. Because he was never going to Twitter again. And then he Twittered.
He Twittered something fierce.
He Twittered something fierce. And then he said he wasn't going to Twitter anymore again. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to break down a bunch of stuff from the game, and we'll talk about the guy who was never going to Twitter again and then Twittered. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Cheesehead Nation, Packer Transplants Live. I'm here with Corey, Brian Caravu, rocking the house.
Rocking it out on the live blog.
And we got a litany of people here tonight. We've got our newest blogger here at Cheesehead TV.
The very first. Okay, so there's you.
And there's you.
There's me. And I'm not really a blogger. I'm like the tech dude.
You're a blogger.
Yeah, I do the videos. But then we have Holly.
Holly Phelps joining Cheesehead TV
as
our NFL blogger.
The NFL blogger at Cheesehead TV.
At The Other 31.
The Other 31. If you don't know about it, it's cheeseheadtv.com/NFL.
Yep. And we cover all the other teams in the NFL who don't matter.
And there is a aggregator. So, like, when you go there and you're like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to read Holly's post, although you should if you know what you're doing. You can see all the other posts about the NFL. And Holly is going to have some specials, okay? We got plans in the works here, people. We are going to have an opponent segment, okay?
Every week.
So basically, Holly is the scout department for the Packers.
Absolutely. So be on the lookout. She's already got a couple posts up. It's fantastic. And, of course, as you can all see, we got a litany of people. We got CD and Jelly here.
It's amazing.
We've got Dale Z in the house.
Dale Z in the house making fun of me. What I love. I love it when Dale Z makes fun of me.
And Alex Talish from Packers Lounge is here making
Packers
fun
Lounge.
Of me. So
Alex was at the game this weekend.
With Iron Man.
With David.
What a disappointing weekend to be at
Ouch.
The game. Owie.
Sorry about that.
So we got people in the house here tonight. And like we said, we already said we have Tony Wilson from Mike McCarthy's
Tony Wilson,
Feedbag.
Howie
from Milwaukee Magazine.
Well, Milwaukee Magazine. Speaking of Milwaukee Magazine, I have a little bone to pick with Milwaukee Magazine.
Uh-oh.
They gave Railbird Central, which I love, Railbird Central.
How can you not?
I do. But they gave Railbird Central like a best of Packer blogs. I don't think they ever went to Cheesehead TV before.
What are you talking about? Railbird Central blows Cheesehead TV out of the water. And you know it.
You need to slow down.
You know it.
I'm not ready to go there. Sorry.
Anyway.
Call me a fool.
But he is right. Howie said earlier that
I wonder when this would come up.
How you doing? This is how we roll here.
Yeah, we invite you on and then we talk crap about you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's what we do. So anyway, let's get back to the game on Sunday.
What the hell?
There's a lot to talk about.
What the hell is going on out there?
Exactly. As in the words
of the man himself, who gets a prominent place here on a broadcast, of course.
Every week.
You know, Michael Lombardi made a good point, because he was saying how he almost said, like, the Lombardi years, but then he had to go back because, you know, you gotta give it up to Curly Lambeau. You gotta give it up to Johnny Blood. You gotta give it up to the old school. Speaking of the old school, we have one of the most old school of the old school Packer bloggers in the house. Always a panelist on Cheesehead Nation. Beer Kid of Packer Palace, one of the greatest Packer sites ever in the history of Packer sites, ever in the history of histories.
You got that? Everybody got the histories down? Because there'll be a test later. So as we were saying, back to the game.
Back to the game.
Lots happened. Not a lot of it good. The worst thing, obviously, and it's the thing everybody's talking about, is the pass protection.
Ouch.
It's redonkulous.
And it kind of hurts when you got guys.
Well, and McCarthy... McCarthy made the great point during his press conference. It's one thing to be like, you know, yeah, you got to make adjustments and you got to do this and you got to do that. But when you're calling 6, 7, 8 man protections and guys are still just getting flat out beat, well, then what good does it do? I mean, we've got a clip here of, I think it's Corey Hall just getting faked out of the fakingness, just getting decimated out of his jock. It's ridiculous. Here he goes. His job is to block. He's not gonna block the linebacker.
That guy's free right there.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Here he comes again. Here we go again. There, Corey Hall, just block him. Oh no, Matador time. So you know, I mean, how frustrating for a play caller when you've got the perfect protection or a quarterback. The quarterback, you set your protection. You've got it set. You know, McCarthy and Rogers are like, okay, I can do this 5-step drop. I'm gonna have time. And then you get clobbered from behind.
Yikes.
So, you know.
Wait, how many guys were in on protection on that one?
A lot. Both backs and a tight end.
Oh.
Okay, so you've got a 5-man line, a tight end, and 2 backs. You got 2 guys out in the pattern, and you still can't block it.
Mm.
So that's a failure right there. And I want to say, for as much crap as Alex likes to talk about me, I will give him props today for his fundamental post. Because I'm right there with you, Alex. I am sick and bleeping tired of hearing about fundamentals. I'm tired of hearing about pad level. I'm tired of hearing about gap control. It's how many years since McCarthy was hired? How many years have they been grooming these guys? And you're going to talk about fundamentals? Are you freaking serious?
I had to turn you down there.
Oh, well, you better turn me down because I'm just starting.
Okay.
All right?
Look.
If Campen's job is not on the line at this point, you got to be kidding me.
I think his job's been on the line for like a year.
It's freaking disgusting. All right, I'm gonna try and calm.
Will say that, you know, Ari Fleischer was the public relations guy for the Packers, and I'm pretty sure that Mike McCarthy got a bunch of points from him. And I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy changed after they met Fleischer, but you know what? When you make millions of dollars and you got to put up with people like Rob Domofsky, sometimes you got to just say normal, boring stuff. Speaking of Rob Domofsky, and I meant to send this picture to Brian, Howie can actually, Howie might be able to say something about this. I was actually listening to Howie's radio broadcast this morning, which they were talking about UW-Wisconsin, which of course I don't care, but I do care about UW-Wisconsin. I care about the Packers, that's it. See, the stairs, there you go. So Howie was talking, and I'm looking, and there's this little icon, okay? And it's Rob Domofsky and Greg Bedard next to each other, and it says "Best of the Packers," and I think that Greg Bedard. I still don't have the Greg Bedard siren in the room.
Though.
It is coming. But I feel like the Greg Bedard siren was going off in my head during that because I was like, okay, number one, Greg Bedard is so really pissed right now that Rob Domofsky is not only on with him, next to him, shoulder to shoulder, but he's actually in front of him.
Domofsky gets top billing.
Wow!
Oh,
wow! Wow! Oh. 12:50 a.m. Yikes.
All right, so there's a great, great, great poll up put up by Brian just now. Who do we want to see? If Nick Collins can't go, would you rather see Jarrett Bush or Derek Martin? This has got to be Derek Martin in a walk, right? I mean, as Holly points out, we haven't even seen this guy play, and everybody's got to like him better than Bush. I mean, just because Jarrett Bush is a disaster. I'm sorry. He is a walking disaster. We paid him, you know, this freaking extension. We kept him away from Tennessee, thank goodness, so he could false start twice in a game.
Yikes.
Twice! He's the special teams maven. Twice?
This is actually the ball that Jared Bush didn't fall on in the NFC Championship game.
No, it's not.
No, that's a lie. But it is from now on, though.
From now on, that's what it represents. No, are you kidding me? Oh, I got to stop doing this. It's gonna take it out of me.
Jared Bush, he's back on his blog now. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, his blog kind of got a little life. He's like, what's up, yard? Like,
oh, no.
Like, dude.
Oh, no.
You haven't been on in 6 months on your blog, and now you come back and you're like, what's up, yard? Wow.
Oh, gosh. You know, speaking of what's up, yard, what's up, linebackers? All right. Before we went to break, we were talking about someone who hadn't made a play all year and who another guy who has sworn off Twitter but is now back on Twitter and then is off Twitter again. Dale Z intimated that they are the same guy. Now, this is correct. Nick Barnett has not made a play all year and has vowed to get off Twitter and then get on Twitter and then get off Twitter. However,
what do you mean he hasn't made a play? He did the samurai.
He did do the samurai. Can everyone get off Nick for doing the samurai?
He just was a little excited.
Good Lord. The guy made a tackle. He's happy.
Okay, here's my question, though. Here's my question. All okay? Right. And Brian can actually help us out because he's going to put this, the infamous Nick Barnett Twitter, okay?
Oh, no.
Everybody on this blog knows what I'm talking about. Okay, here's the thing. Everybody gives you crap because you lost, okay?
Right.
Okay, reasons to never Twitter for a year. The sharded Twitter? Or I lost the game and I can't put up with people Twitter?
Oh, gosh.
Seriously?
Seriously. It's got to be the sharded Twitter, right?
I mean, if I put, I accidentally sharded, I would be like, guys, I'm not going to Twitter for a year.
I'm not going to Twitter for a year.
I love how he's like, so basically a year to Nick Barnett. Okay, so a year to Nick Barnett is actually 24 hours.
Oh, God. 48.
Okay, 48. So that means, like, in Nick Barnett years, the game isn't happening for, like, three years.
Just say this. He came back on Twitter specifically to call out Bill Michaels, and I say amen!
Yes, I do too.
Bill Michaels is a blowhard.
Oh, wow. I thought you said I couldn't say that on
the show. I'm here to say it. Bill Michaels is a blowhard. No, you said something much filthier and much dirtier and much more awful.
We saw Bill Michaels at FanFest. Bill Michaels looked bored, okay?
Yeah, dude. He why looked are you like, there?
He was
Where's
like,
the passion?
He was like,
what's your problem?
I wish I had a microphone, man. He was like, so Nick Collins.
To be fair, he was talking to Nick Collins.
It's true, but and Nick Collins was like, I'm a pro bowler, and that's what you need to call me. But
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But still everybody. Jenkins.
Colin Jenkins, anybody was on stage. He was on stage with Donald Driver.
Bill
God's
Michaels
sake.
Was like,
Donald Driver, you were there when the team needed you. Blah blah blah. Dude, shut up. Just get off stage. Are you kidding me?
You know what Bill Michaels' problem is?
What's that?
And I was born in Green Bay, so I can say this statement.
Oh no.
Okay? Bill Michaels has no competition.
Exactly.
And you know what? You know what happens when you have no competition?
You become suck.
You become Microsoft. And there you go.
Oh, goodness.
That's
gracious.
The gist. And that's me not saying anything bad about him. But if he had competition, he wouldn't suck as bad.
Hey, wait. Speaking of competition, it's time. It is time. It is time for Desmond Bishop. Load up the Hawk video. I want to show people something.
All right.
This made me so mad. I jumped out of my seat on Sunday. I was cursing. The kids ran. It was awful. Now watch Hawk. Hawk is the first one through on this play. Now watch him. Where is he going? His job on that play. His job. What do we always hear about Hawk? Just let this run for a little bit. What do we always hear about Hawk? How assignment sure he is. Oh, he's always in the right place. He's assignment sure. Well, his job on this play is not to shoot the gap. His job is to get in. Watch, they draw the little line where he's supposed to go. His job is to clear. He doesn't clear. He jumps inside, thereby creating this huge pile, allowing the running back to get like 8 yards.
I can't watch that anymore.
AJ Hawk, what the hell are you doing? It's time for Desmond Bishop is a playmaker. At least when Desmond Bishop screws up, it's like, yeah, he was attempting to make a play that might have been brilliant. What were you doing there, Hawk? I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of Hawk getting a free pass.
I'm not wearing his jersey right now.
No, you better not be. Next time I see you, I don't want to see you in an AJ Hawk jersey.
Well, I am if he makes a play this week.
Well, it'd be nice.
I want to go back to it.
It'd be his first one all year.
God knows, I can't wear my Vonnie Holiday jersey at Kettle of Fish. That's not even fun. And I'm not wearing my Javon Walker. No. This is all I got here. I got He Who Shall Not Be Named.
I think a lot of people have that, except for the people who burn them.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to wear my Robert Brooks jersey next week.
There you go. Jump in the stands.
Jump in the stands to the hearts of a pack of fans. That's one of my favorite songs.
Look at that, huh?
That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
You need help. Hey, you know what we got to do right now?
It's a great song.
We got to call our friend Brian. We got to call Brian. We got to have a little special teams talk here.
What's happening here?
Let's call
special teams. We're kind of special.
Hey, that's little Brian Caribou on the Skype. Brian, I hope you're on your toes, dog, because I'm calling you. I don't care.
I'm live blogging right now.
I'm going to call my dad in a second. Brian, you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hey, Brian Caribou. So, Brian, what happened with the special teams? Two huge punt returns. Whose fault? Who should be fired? What's going on?
Jeremy Kapanos himself. Pardon me, I'm getting over a cold, guys.
I surprised you. I'm sorry about
this. Brian.
Jeremy Kapanos himself admitted it was his error for punting the ball down the middle of the field when he should have been pinning the returner more to the sidelines. Right. And I would definitely say it's partially his fault.
Well, I will say that first punt, it was like a 50-plus yarder. And I said at the time, I said he just outkicked his coverage, which he completely did. It was a beautiful long punt, but they had no hang time, but it had very little hang time, and it gave the returner just all day to get up to speed and make some moves. So I can definitely get on board with that one.
Yes, very little hang time, and you know, that was part of the problem. Jared Bush just got, well, I shouldn't blame him, but on one of those long returns, he got double teamed on one of the plays he didn't have a penalty on. he got double teamed and pushed out of the way. So I do have to credit the Bengals with some very good blocking on that.
Don't credit the Bengals. Come on. I'm kidding. So what do you think they do as far as Derek Martin? You know, they've been playing him on special teams. You've seen him on special teams. You haven't seen him from scrimmage yet. But do you think they make that move? Do you think they stick with Jared Bush? Or do you think they play Derek Martin if Nick Collins is unable to go?
That's a very good question. I don't know what they do. I mean, obviously, Jared Bush has the experience. You know, he's been around for 3 years now, and Derek Martin has just been around for 3 weeks. So, boy, oh, boy. I mean,
but there is Jared the fact Bush that Jared played. Bush sucks. So there is that.
We know Jared Bush did very poorly on special teams, but did he do that bad on defense? I mean, he gave up a long one to Ocho Cinco there, but...
Which actually, you know, I read later, was Rouse's responsibility. So
there you go.
There is that.
So I don't know how bad Jared Bush did on defense.
He sucked. He sucks. It's just, he's Jared Bush. That's just who he is. You know, it's all right. Some guys just suck, and he sucks. But no, I'm kidding. I hear what you're saying. It's just like, you see him in positions to make the tackle, or like he comes down for a run fit or something, you know, a run force or whatever, but it's just not there. The kid just doesn't have any explosion. He doesn't have any, he's not a playmaker. He has horrible ball skills. I mean, the guy cannot just recognize where he should be when the ball is in the air. So at the safety position, I got to think that's a detriment.
You know who needs to be in the good category? I was just figuring out.
Who's that?
Tremon Williams.
All right. I'll
Seriously.
Buy that. I'll buy that.
Seriously.
He did get beat a couple times. I'll buy that.
Look, okay, a quarterback's going to get beat every game.
I know.
If a quarterback doesn't get beat, something's wrong.
Charles Woodson got beat for a touchdown. So
Charles Woodson gets beat in every game, and he's amazing. He's probably the most amazing cornerback in the NFL right now.
Well, Darrell Revis and I'm assuming Dominique Malunga with the Bears.
I would take Charles Woodson over either of those two any day of the week.
All right. It's fair.
And Tremon Williams.
Charles Woodson kept us in the game.
Why is Tremon Williams not returning punts? That's a special teams question. Why? He's the only one on our team that scored. He's the last person on a punt return to score a touchdown.
That's not correct.
Will Blackman has scored 2 touchdowns on punt returns. You can criticize Will Blackman on kick returns, but Will Blackman is pretty good on punt returns himself.
And I will ask you this. Looking at the game, it was pretty obvious that Jordy Nelson did a better job in week 1 than Will Blackman did in week 2 on kick returns. Do you think that was just rust for on Blackman's part, or was Blackman just kind of same old Blackman, same results, and Nelson's just better?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too, because Jordy Nelson looked pathetic at kick returns last year. So I can't blame them for starting the season without, you know, Jordy Nelson. But then all of a sudden he shows out of nowhere, seemingly, a penchant for kick returns. And, you know, I don't know what they do there either. Well, I guess we wait and see.
Yeah, it's big time wait and see. And I guess, you know, that's one of the things that bothers me a bit about McCarthy, and is that you don't want somebody changing every week just for the sake of changing things. But when things are blindingly obvious, and of course the obvious, the biggest one is the Derek Frost debacle last year. But it's kind of up and down the line. Like you look at the Hawk and Bishop situation, and you look at this with Jordy Nelson clearly outperforming Will Blackman. I understand you don't want to change things week to week. When people are just definitely outperforming you know, their competition, and Desmond Bishop has alluded to this before last year and this year, how you know, politics is playing a great role. And I guess obviously that's true on any NFL roster, but it really seems to be the case with McCarthy. And I just, you know, I wonder about that. I wonder how much that's playing into it. Obviously we can't know, but especially on special teams. I mean, wasn't Slocum brought in to teach the fundamentals, the blocking? You know, you broke it all down in training camp. Have you noticed something like that? Have you noticed any kind of change in the blocking? I mean, I know one of those big returns was because Thompson was out of his lane. I mean, I thought we were supposed to eliminate those kind of mistakes.
I guess the big indication was Jordy Nelson's performance last week. I mean, Jordy Nelson was so bad at returning kicks last year that it was a big surprise to see how well he did in the first week of this season. And it seems like people have short memories. All of a sudden, Jordy Nelson has one good week when he had a whole year of bad kick returns last year. And now all of a sudden, everybody's clamoring for Jordy Nelson to go back to kick returns after one good game.
To be fair, he was horrible in the regular season, but he showed flashes in the preseason last year, especially in the San Francisco game. I do remember
he had a couple
really nice returns. So, yes, in the regular season, you're right. He was god awful.
I'm starting a campaign to have Tremont Williams return punt returns. But
campaign.
You know, everybody says that it is true. I like him better as a nickel cornerback. And you know what? When you return punt returns, there's always a danger.
There's an injury factor.
And there is, you know.
It happened with Woodson 2 years ago.
It's true. It's true.
So, Brian, what do you think happens this weekend against the Rams? I noticed you tweeted this afternoon, and I share the sentiment. If Cedric Benson goes for 140 yards against the Packer D, what is Steven Jackson going to do?
Yeah, you know, the Rams traditionally, at least the past couple of years, have not been a good team, but they've had a good running back in Steven Jackson. And, you know, after a journeyman running back, you know, gashed them this past Sunday, it could be scary. You know, let's just hope the Packer defense plays like they have all preseason long, plays like they did the first game of the year, and they get things corrected. There's one ray of hope, and that's that I'm hoping the Packers themselves drank the Kool-Aid after a preseason in which they did quite well, and maybe they'll come back down to reality. So that could be the case. And guys, I'm going to post the special teams player of the week poll here. So Brett Swain was player of the week week 1, and we'll let Cheesehead Nation vote on special team player of the week for week 2. So
as long as you don't include Jarrett Bush in the list of choices,
Brian.
It was slim pickings this week.
No doubt.
Brian Caravu in the house for Cheesehead Nation. Brian, again, as always, without you, we wouldn't be here. Seriously.
So thanks a lot for being here, Brian. We'll see you on the live blog.
Thanks, guys.
Brian Caribou just I'm sorry. A regular contributor.
I'm sorry.
It's fantastic.
I'm sorry. I always talk junk about Brian because it's funny, but Brian and I have a really good relationship, and I am so happy that he's part of our show. And I'm not just saying that. I've only had one beer, so don't Dale, don't call me drunk.
Everybody got that? Good. We got a few minutes before we got to go to break. I want to show some people one more thing.
Let's go to video.
One more thing.
All right.
Here we go. Roll it up.
Which one?
Roll it up. Well,
I have two more.
You have two more?
I have A-Rod and I have Third and 34.
Throw on Third and 34 because it's so horrific. And because you can't see this anywhere else, ladies and gentlemen, because it got taken down by the Packers.
That's right. And they'll probably get taken down
now. Probably everything's going to get taken down eventually. No, that's Brian. I got the shaft from the Green Bay Packers. They didn't like me having Third and 34 up. And I found it interesting that this is the video they chose to destroy. They didn't mind all the other ones, but apparently this was a little embarrassing. And the Packers wanted to make sure it was off the internet. But you see here, there's a couple things that happened. the most prominent of which, the most biggest problem in this play.
That we didn't get the ball back?
Well, there's that. But watch Brandon Chiller. Here he comes right there. He tries to go under the block. And that kills it. That gives up like 20 yards.
How do you not get the ball?
I know. They get a horrible bounce.
That's like
there.
Jared
That's
Bush.
Football. That happens. But
I know. But
and they got Chiller here is just unfortunate. There. He goes under just goes underneath. But look at Colin Jenkins. Are you kidding me?
Colin Jenkins is amazing.
Yes.
I'm
yes,
sorry. But
yes, he is.
He has definitely earned the nickname Big Sexy.
Yes. Okay. And quickly, one other thing. I wanted to touch on really quickly. Yes, offensive line's got problems. Yes, the protection could be better. But watch here how Aaron Rodgers just puts himself right into this sack. Yeah, Clifton gets a little beat, and then he just walks right into it. I mean, that's like in Madden when you're drifting, and then all of a sudden the lineman comes out of nowhere, and you're like, that's BS, man. That would never happen. No, it happens. Because watch, Rodgers, stay in the pocket. He starts drifting, and boom, he goes right into it. And the guys are blocked. If he just stays in the pocket, the guys are blocked. So, you know, he's holding it, but watch, and also watch Deshaun win. This is the only reason he's on the team. Boom! Are you kidding me?
Yep.
That's a great block. That's a great block. He can't catch, he can't run, but he can block. So there's a little something more for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, rookie linebacker Brad Jones will be on the phone, provided there's not a Larry V situation. So stick around. We're live with Brad Jones. How are you tonight, Brad?
I'm doing great. How's everybody else doing?
We're doing fine. Thanks so much for joining us here, Cheesehead Nation, live here Tuesday night, Players Day off. You don't have to be with us, but you choose to be. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's no problem.
Brad Jones!
I just got back to the stadium.
Nice!
Are you really?
Brad Jones in the house.
What were you doing at the stadium?
You try to get edge as much as you can, so I was just watching a little film.
Very nice.
Nice.
That's what we like to hear. That's we were just watching some film, too. Somehow, I think our film isn't close to yours, but it's good to hear.
What was your film, YouTube?
No, we were watching the offensive line collapse, but we'll try not to dwell on that. Well, we won't dwell on
okay.
that. Well, we're here to talk about you. We're going to talk about you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Going way back, you grew up in Lansing, Michigan, I believe. Are your family yeah. Lions fans, and have they converted?
Say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up a little bit.
Sorry about that. When you grew up in Michigan, in Lansing, Michigan, were your family Lions fans? And if so, have they converted?
I mean, my family's always been – I mean, when you grew up in Michigan, I mean, the Packers are just across the lake, man. You get all the games. I mean – most people in Michigan are Lions fans by default, but we all love the Packers, man.
That's what we like to hear.
Nice.
Your senior season at Colorado, you led the team with 7 sacks, 14 quarterback hurries, and 14 tackles for loss. It does sound like aggressiveness is a big part of your game. What have you learned from Kevin Green as far as how to use that aggressiveness, how to translate it into the pro game at this level?
Kevin Green, obviously, I mean, he played, has 160 sacks in his career, and he really brings to the table, he really teaches you how though, I mean, I've always been an aggressive player, and just naturally just, I mean, that's my instinct to be aggressive. But he really teaches you how to focus that aggression, like the actual techniques that will help you use, you know, when to use aggression, when to strike people and punch people in the face, in the mouth. And, like, I mean, he just really shows you how to harness it, like, harness all the aggression that you have as natural players.
And, you know, I know you're, at the moment, you haven't been activated yet, or you haven't been active on game day yet. But watching something like like Sunday, it's got to be frustrating watching the defense. You know, the Bengals are going down the field, they're getting run on. We've asked this before. We asked it of Joe Porter last year. Do you make, like, kind of a pitch to the coaches this week to say, hey, you know, I could get in there, I could make a difference? Or do you kind of just, you know, bite your tongue and kind of say, you know, wait for your shot, so to speak?
I mean, it's not. I don't know what most guys do. You know, me being a first year player, but I try to stick to just letting my play speak for itself. You know, in practice, just making plays in practice and just doing stuff that's making all the coaches say, "Wow, this dude can play." And and when I do, if I keep doing enough of that, then I mean they'll have no choice but to, you know, put me on the field and see my ability in the game.
Absolutely, and I gotta say, you know, obviously we're not privy to practice, we don't get to see it, but you had a light.
Right.
I mean, not even a lights out, but you had a fantastic preseason. When we saw you in preseason, you were everywhere. You were making plays. You were up the field. Very impressed, Corey and I both. We mentioned you on the blog. So, you know, hopefully, a couple weeks we'll get you on the field there, Lambeau or otherwise. You know, going back to when you were in school, coming up, you were an economics major, and you're just short of a second degree in astrophysics. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I was an astrophysics major first. And, yeah, I mean, I wanted to be an astronaut. I mean, that was my thing coming into college. I mean,
awesome.
Even in high school,
that's so awesome.
But around my junior, senior year, I got into physics, really big. And, yeah, when I got to college, I already knew the choice. I wanted to be astrophysics. And I did astrophysics for 2 years, 3 years. No, I did astrophysics for 3 years. And it's a little loophole, because the last three classes I have to take for astrophysics are only scheduled, like, during times when practices are happening, so I could never finish it. So I was like, okay, I figured that out. I was like, let me switch it over to economics and get my economics degree fast, and then, you know, when I get done, get done with football in college, I can just, you know, take those three classes online, or maybe even just come back to the campus, take them, and I'll have my astrophysics degree.
Well, that's amazing. And on top of this, yeah. Cheesehead Nation, I read today you play the viola as well?
Wow.
Is that true?
Yeah. Played the viola for about, 15 years? Maybe, 14,
oh, my
15 years.
Goodness.
Wait, I mean, you're getting to something as a kid. I mean, my dad's the one who did it. He was like, you got to play an instrument. And I was like, all right, I like the violin.
Wait,
what's
your favorite song to play on the viola?
My favorite song? I really don't have a favorite. I mean, I've written a couple that I like, I like pretty much all the music for the viola.
Very nice.
I mean, you can put anything. My favorite composer is probably Bach, but other than that, I mean, I like a lot of his stuff. But other than that, I play anything. I like it all.
Brad Jones, Renaissance man. That's incredible. Well, Brad, I got to say, I did notice that your favorite movie, you've listed this anyway in the Packers media guide, is Harlem Nights. Now, I got to tell you, I love that
movie.
That's
a classic.
And not a lot of people are familiar with it, but I love it.
That is a great movie, man.
It's fantastic. It really is.
I just got to tell you, I've never heard anyone say that's their favorite movie, but I love that movie.
Yeah.
Love it. Richard
Pryor.
You've
really never heard anybody say that's their favorite.
Well, no, because it's usually, you know, they like a certain, like a Pryor vehicle, or they like an Eddie Murphy vehicle. But I've never heard anyone say it's Harlem Nights is their favorite movie. You know, it's either a Richard Pryor film.
I know a bunch of people who love that movie, so I'm gonna put you in touch with them and
That's fantastic.
It's got some of the classic comedians of all time.
Oh, the Red Fox bit is the best.
Oh man,
absolutely,
it's ridiculous. That orange juice bit. Oh man. God, it's so good.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I don't know if you know this. You probably don't, but we're here to tell you. You're about to receive the Cheesehead Nation bump. Everybody who comes on the show gets a little something, gets a little present, gets something happy happen to them professionally. So I am sure, without a doubt, you're about to receive a phone call. Maybe not this week, maybe next week, saying, "Brad, you're active this week. You're going, and you're gonna get like three sacks in the game."
I would love if I could get that. I actually tell you in the locker room, so hopefully he'll come up to me and be like, "Hey man, you're active," and I can show everybody what I have.
Nice. Well, we can't wait to see it, Brad. You're such a sport for joining us. Thank you so much. Keep up playing the music. Keep up the astrophysicists.
Yeah,
keep it all up, man. We're gonna be watching, and we're big fans. And good luck in this year and beyond.
All right, man. I really appreciate it, man.
Have a great night.
You too.
Brad Jones in the house. I mean, Brad how Jones. Ridiculous is this kid?
He is. He
Are
was
you
a,
kidding
he
me?
He was a fan favorite at training camp.
He
really was.
He was fantastic.
Like, I mean, you know,
kept making plays.
Yeah. He's a playmaker.
Oh, I forgot to tell him. I had him on my 53. I want to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
Brad,
yeah.
I had That's you on true. My 53.
That's true. You did. You mean before Rob Demoski called you out for your 53
because I kept Joe Porter? You know, Rob, we got to get Rob on the show.
You know what?
We got to get Rob on the show just so you and he can just have a cage
no,
match.
No. We don't. We don't because we're not going to have a cage match.
Oh, goodness.
I just, you know, the picture of all I need in life is the picture of Rob Demoski in front of Greg Bedard. Actually, I wish Greg Bedard would show up today.
I really
sent him an invite on the live blog.
We always do.
We always do here.
Ever since we started sending him an invite every week, he hasn't shown up.
You know, people who are new to Cheesehead Nation, Greg Bedard has a special place in my heart. He really does, though. He really does. That's not even like, I'm not even like joking.
Here's the problem, though. There's nobody new here. We have the same, like, you know,
no.
30 people that come every week.
Howie's new.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
And Howie
Good
was point. Giving us props. I mean, it might be because he's on the live blog right now. Hey, you'll leave and he'll be like, "Oh my God, what did I do?
Oh my God.
Wow."
Dude. And then he's going to email Brian. Losers. He's going to say, "Oh my gosh, you could do so much better." That's what's going to happen.
It's true.
So, Corey, wait, prediction time. What is going to happen this weekend in St. Louis?
40-0.
I think you're wrong about that. I think it's 40 to negative treat.
There you go.
There you go.
It's the biggest show on nothing.
Hey, but let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you, I'm just going to throw this out there. Steven Jackson's no joke.
No, he
as
is
we
not.
All know.
That's true.
As we all know.
Well, if you watch any commercials at all, you know.
And the guy kind of ran all over us last year before it got out of hand. And, you know, McCarthy, or 2 years ago, sorry, not last year, 2 years ago. You know, yep. Jackson kind of ran all over the Packers. And he's still a very, very good back.
Holly's pulling some fantasy football crap right now on the live blog.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to ban her.
Uh-oh.
She better watch out.
Don't ban Holly.
She's talking about Steven Jackson needs to do good except for he can't score a touchdown.
Oh, Holly, that is unacceptable.
Seriously?
That is unacceptable.
Seriously?
Although, I will point out that you have Brett Favre on your fantasy team.
Wait,
so I don't want to talk about unacceptable.
What?
Exactly.
Wait, no, we're not supposed to tell anybody that.
Yeah, we already told people like weeks ago
right.
when we had our draft.
That's right. Oops.
Brett Favre, you gotta be kidding.
Wait,
me.
So am I banned from Packer Transplants?
You are darn Skippy. That's your punishment. Oh my God.
Yikes.
Brett Favre. Oh my God. What are people talking about in the live blog? Let's see what we got here.
They're actually listening to us for once.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm very surprised.
That's
I think it's because
bad.
I'm actually watching the live blog. Right. But I don't know. But, you know, Holly was very happy that you called me out. But you know what? I'm very happy that Holly's our other 31 blogger.
Hey, she's fantastic.
I can't
tell
you.
She's the
best. I can't
say
enough.
She's absolutely the best.
I can't say
enough. You know what? What else is great about it is she's an old school Cheesehead TV reader.
It's true.
She's been reading us forever.
One could say she's a Cheesehead TV super fan.
Super fan. There are like two or three. Not too many, but there are a couple.
Keith
is Keith here tonight?
Keith in NYC.
Keith,
you know what?
Andrew in Atlanta. He's a super fan.
Andrew in Atlanta, and who is a panelist? Look, I think Keith is. I think Keith is going to be maybe at the broadcast from Kettle of Fish.
I hope so.
Next
great to meet
week,
him.
Kettle of Fish, people.
Kettle of Fish.
This is huge.
Again, life after Favre. will be on the bookshelf soon, in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Check it out.
The first thing Aaron and I said when we first did podcasting was, wow, how cool would it be to have Brian Caravu on our podcast? Okay.
Right.
Now
Brian
he's
Caravu's on our podcast
every week.
Every week.
And then the next thing we were like, you know what? Kettle Fish is the best Packer blog. They got mentioned in the New York Daily News with us. If you go to our About page, you can actually see the article. And we gave him some stuff and whatever. And we were like, oh, that'd be cool to broadcast. How cool would that be?
That'd be great.
Next week we're doing it.
We're doing it. We're living the dream, Corey. Living the dream.
It's seriously. How? I'm in New York City.
Oh. So, okay. So here are the predictions. It's 40-0 and 40-3. At St. Louis. But in all seriousness, Steven Jackson is no joke. Now, it'll be interesting to see if Raji plays. It'll be interesting to see what they do offensively. Like I wrote this week, McCarthy just needs to spread it out a little bit. He needs to do what he did against the Chargers in 07. He needs to spread it out, some quick strikes, And just work his way down the field. Enough of this 5-7.
We're gonna crush
drop,
the Rams.
Deep throwing out every play. Just relax.
We're gonna crush
West
the
Coast
Rams.
West Coast offense down the field. Score your points, and then things will take care of the score will take care of itself, as Bill Walsh so eloquently put it. And there we are.
Wait, did you just bring up Bill Walsh?
Well, he's the architect of the West Coast offense.
Yeah. Well, but, wait.
Well, he got it from Paul Brown. But
we don't even use the West Coast offense.
Well, we got away from it.
We ran like two screens last week.
Oh, going with Ryan Grant. See, now you're going to get me all upset again.
Yikes.
Ryan Grant is so horrible as a receiving back out of the
I have to laugh because if I don't laugh, I'm going to cry.
Running back we have?
If I don't laugh...
He's the best running back we have? Seriously?
You know what sucks is...
No. You know what sucks is watching the Giants and the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going
to
say.
And watching them have like... 5-6 good to really good backs between them, and we can't find one.
That's what I was gonna say. Living in New York, it's kind of like, dude, we can't find a running back. These teams
we
got like
trade
eight.
For their cast off, and he's our best running back. Seriously?
No. Well,
oh,
you know, I said it. I said it 2 weeks ago. Brandon Jackson will take over Ryan Grant by the end of the season.
Hey, if he could ever get healthy. Who knows what's going on with Brandon Jackson?
It's true.
And I know someone's going to say it. I'm sure Brian's probably... I'm not even going to look. Sutton was not the answer. So shut the hell up. There you go. That's all I got to say about that. That's all I got to say. I'm so sick of... Packer Geeks was whining about Sutton the other day. But let it go. Let it go.
Sutton.
Sutton was an Sutton was Whisper Goodman.
Well, you know what?
Right?
I don't. I don't want to say this guy's name because if I say it, like some of our diehards will actually go to his site. But there's this guy. He runs PackerAuthority.com.
Oh no,
dude! This guy, seriously, he gives a bad names to Packer bloggers everywhere.
Poor guy. He's just running his blog.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be hating, but
don't
I do.
Don't be a hater.
I'm the hater
in our midst.
No, I'm
right?
the hater. I'm the hater.
We're both.
I want to be the hater.
It's true. It's very true.
So we want to thank
everybody.
Michael Lombardi for
yes.
coming on the show.
Yes, we do.
We want to thank Howie. You are the man.
You're the man.
Tony Wilson for coming back to the live blog.
That's
Brad Jones.
Brad Jones.
Seriously?
Rookie linebacker?
Okay.
Seriously? Astrophysicist?
Cheesehead Nation. Joe Porter, Nick Barnett, Jermichael Finley, Dane Randolph back on our team
back
after
the
Cheesehead Nation bump.
That means Joe Porter's on his way back, too.
A little Brad Jones? Seriously?
I mean...
And Jarius Wynn, soon to be, possibly, starting defensive end for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, maybe not this year.
Maybe not this
year. But in the future.
Soon to be. Possibly.
Possibly. Definitely because of the Cheesehead Nation bump.
Yeah. So, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining in.
And thanks. Let's give a shout-out to CD. I think he had to leave.
Yeah, CD left.
Check out Tundra Vision.
Check out Packer Palace. Green Bay Bums. Got to give a little shout-out.
Green Bay Bums. Check out Packers Lounge.
Packers Lounge, always.
Check them out. There's some amazing blogs
there's
on there.
There's a plethora.
Around the internet. Check them all out. Lots of different voices. You've seen some of them here tonight. It's great to be here with you folks. We're going to be live from Kettle of Fish. Next week.
Kettle of Fish in the village of New York City with Packer fans from New York City. How amazing is that? They're going to look at us and they're not diehards, obviously.
They're going to say,
they're going to look at us and be like, dude, you guys, what are you doing? You guys are weird. But you know what? We're going to love it because we have you.
True.
And thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Keep up the fandom. It's 1-1. A lot of ball game left. Long season. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. All will be well.